discussion number 12592, Reel 3.
Mr. Duval, Reel 3. So you were saying that you had a kind of supervisory job, but not on the intelligence side?
Not on the intelligence side. That was coordinated by special branch. At the same time, we did liaise very close with the Gurkhas, who were doing the jungle patrolling, and very often the Gurkhas would use our camp as a temporary base. We never had any casualties whatsoever, ever, in these bases that were established for the protection of the Aboriginals.
Did you come across a gentleman by the name of Spearman in one of these jungle forts?
Remember, I know the name Spearman.
He'd been a commando during the war.
Well, fort commander.
Yes. He was with the Sakai in one of these forts. I tape recorded him some time ago.
No, I can't remember Spearman, no.
Any names that do stick out in your mind who were the personnel there?
Barry. MacDougall. Chapman. White.
What did the forts look like? Were they stockades?
In a way, no. A stockade, what is a stockade? No, we had a barbed wire all the way around.
A stockade is where you've got sharp and
close. Yeah, I know. We had temporary buildings and it was used for storing equipment. Quarters, but it was surrounded by barbed wire.
And mines?
Not mine, no.
What did the temporary buildings consist of? Wood?
No, the metal frame and metal frame, and they had rotan strips interwoven for panel work.
How many policemen would be in a fort?
Be 30 to 40 with a police lieutenant commander.
And the Aborigines would be inside the fort?
No, complementary on the outside. They used to visit the fort, you'd probably find them in the fort, but basically the areas were outside. There was a lot of talk about having them grow their stuff. Aborigines, they never used any tools for planting things like that, but eventually they were taught to use what they call the chunkol, you see, which is a sort of a hose thing the Malays use.
A mattock.
Chunkol.
Kind of mattock.
Yeah. Now this was, we taught the use of this, but they decide after a while that it's going to lead to soil erosion, you know, which it was, and they withdrew them then. But whether the Aborigines came on again and started up, I don't really know. But that was after my time. But I was asked one time what I thought about this activity, and I said, oh, well, I think the Aborigines should revert to what they were doing before. And it was rather acceptable because I could see the areas that they'd been working in had become gradually eroded.
What did you think of the Aboriginals themselves?
Quite nice people. Harmless. Didn't do anything. Got a bloke, they had a blowpipe, and that's it.
Were they helping the guerrillas?
Not intentionally. They weren't politically minded. But when you're intimidated, there's nothing you can do about it. if they, a band of terrorists turned up in their Kongsi, put it that way, with a collection of housing, what can they do? They want, if the terrorists want food and it's there, they would take it, especially if they're armed, which they were.
So what exactly were the jungle forts meant to do? To prevent the Sakai helping the guerrillas?
Well, give protection to the Sakai, not to prevent them, not to to protect them against the activities of the guerrillas, and also give a semblance of order, and also at the same time give a base in the jungle to other units. I remember the SAS, when they were there, they used the base quite often, made it an overnight stay and operated the patrol from there, and the Gurkhas quite often, because the police didn't at this stage were not operating jungle patrols.
Were the SAS very effective?
Very good.
Did you come across Michael Calvert, who commanded them?
No.
Did you come across Sir Gerald Templar whilst you
I was his tame thug, Templar, in the last 6 months of his service. There had been a pressure building up, and every time he went out, I was his escort. And that Templar, the winner, I presented with a medal.
What did you think of his work in Malaya?
Magnificent.
Why?
I thought he coordinated all the existing forces he did before. Remember, Gurney was the High Commissioner, wasn't he? He was killed on the way to Fraser's Hill from Kuala Lumpur. He was ambushed. Mike Brody was in charge of the armoured car escort at the time. He was ambushed on the road to where Kuala Kuba, was it? I think it's Kuala Kuba. On the way to Fraser's Hill, anyway. But I thought Templar came out there, tremendous man.
Why in particular was he good?
He had tremendous influence over all the forces in coordinating. I got a bit of system into things. And then a new chief of police took over from Colonel Gray, which was Colonel Young, Portsmouth Grammar School boy, actually.
And you left Malaya in 1960?
60. 61.
Were you sorry to leave?
In a way, yeah. Coming back to a strange country that I hadn't seen for many years. And got to start a new life.
When were you doing the jungle fort work? Which years?
That would be 55, 56, and then 55, 56. When was 50? I'm 57. 56, 57, not 55.
Because you had that year in Africa, that period in Africa.
Yeah, I went to Africa in
55, presumably. You said you finished the job at Bahau in 55.
Yes, and went home on leave. Must have been 55 then, went to Africa.
So you
came back, there'd be 56, 57.
With the forts?
Yeah. That was operated from police headquarters, Kuala Lumpur. Then I came home on leave again then and went back for a year. No, came home on leave 59 and went back for a year in Johor Bahru. Just a normal administration job, which was an absolute bore.
Had the guerrilla activity finished?
Finished, nothing going on at all.